Bible reading is Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36, Pew Bible page 1609. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and two men standing with them. As the men were leaving, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." The voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The second gospel reading comes from Luke 9. 37 through 43a, which is just the first part of that verse, can be found on page 1610 of your Pew Bible. Listen now for the word of the Lord. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion, but Jesus rebuked him, and the unpure spirit healed the boy and gave him back to his father, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you would help us to see the mountaintop experience, to see you dazzling in glory, but also to be bold enough to go down the mountain, to come back into the valleys of this world, carrying with us that light so that we may share it, serve you, and not be in fear that you are not with us down there. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Saturdays were the best days. In my teenage years, my weekends had a very defined arch to them, with excitement at the top and dread on the bottom. Friday night, the excitement meter was climbing. School's out. Let's go do something fun. Somewhere during Saturday, it hit its peak. But when Sunday morning came and carried along with the reality that real life was about to hit, the arch would dramatically turn down towards dread. Oh, man. School. Stuff I gotta do. Why can't every day be Saturday? Who really wants to do all that schoolwork and testing? Real life is exhausting. This is the kind of stuff I thought as a teenager. Man, was I so wrong. Never once had to worry about taxes. Gosh, bless America. But this is how Peter felt when he was asking Jesus if he should build some shelters to stay on top of the mountain. Why, after seeing a peek behind the curtain, that's what they saw, a peek behind the curtain, they got to see God's power and might. Why would they ever want to go back to the nitty-gritty, messy world full of lepers, full of people begging to see Jesus the whole time, full of Pharisees, full of Herods? Peter thought, let's just stay here, basking in the brightness of the dazzling Christ. This is where we belong, not down there in the valley, but up here in the mountainside. Away from all the riffraff, away from all the people begging to see Jesus. We could just be here and be happy. Peter was hoping to finally and once for all escape the world he was called to serve. And this mountaintop experience was his chance to escape. We can all relate to his struggle. We too try to escape as often as we can from the reality of our lives and the struggles of our communities. Big superhero movies dominate the box office, offer us a chance for at least a couple hours to see these larger-than-life superheroes save the world with a well-timed epic punch. Oh, and it feels so good at the end. They solved all the world's problems, Katie, in just 2 hours. It's phenomenal. It feels so good. And I don't have to think about all my problems and all the problems in our community. Facebook, Twitter insulate us into like-minded bubbles, confirming our prejudices, and then give us an outlet to vent our frustrations. And then there's the dull drone of cable news. Ugh. It allows us to feel like we're fighting the good fight for the very soul of our country without actually doing anything but just consuming the ads that they run in between talking heads. Ugh. That's how I feel about the droning heads. Sports allows us to forget everything and become absorbed in a game that in the end means absolutely nothing. Has no impact on anything. And listen, I love sports. I get it. Even worse, we try to hide behind our religion as a means of escape. I am saved. I have my ticket punched to heaven. Earth isn't my real home. I'm just passing through. I can disengage from the mess of this world. My soul is just fine. Thank you very much. Let everybody else figure out their soul. This is escapism at its very core. And it's a dangerous tendency. It allows us to tune out the cries of the poor and the oppressed. It gives us permission to believe lies in order to make ourselves feel better about our lives and the privileges that we have. This is why Peter's impulse to stay on the top of the mountain was wrong-headed. Luke even tells us that it was wrong. Luke says he didn't even know what he was asking. Right? You can't stay on top of the mountain forever. Jesus' revelation to the disciples was not designed to be an escape hatch, but rather an opportunity to be renewed, refreshed in their mission to the world. The transfiguration is what we call this mountaintop experience. This transfiguration where Jesus' face was changed, his clothes were dazzled, and he joined Moses and Elijah was intended to give them a clearer sense of Jesus' identity and the call that they have to follow and listen to him. That's what a mountaintop experience is all about. Refocusing, not escape. Just like what we do in worship, tear is not a form of escape. You don't come here to escape the world out there. You come here to be prepared, to recommit yourself to serving God in your life out there. Because we can all be pretty great Christians in here, but it's tough when we hit the nitty-gritty streets out there. You're not going to get away from it all, but you are going to be trained and you are going to be empowered to serve God. Case in point. Last weekend, Kim Johnson, Molly, and Landon and I attended the Presbytery Winter Youth Retreat, as I told you earlier, with 135 middle schoolers and high schoolers. I just want you to picture in your head what that energy felt like and looked like. And then times it by 10, because that's what it was. It was tough. And Kim will tell you, right, Kim? It was a lot of energy. And it's the only kind of energy that middle schoolers, and I'm sure all my teachers, there's Kristen right there, the only kind of energy that middle schoolers and high schoolers can bring. It's a very unique form of energy. Yeah, and the food wasn't good. It was bad. And I told Kim, I said, I would have paid $20 extra for all of us. I mean, 20 each person if we could have just met, like, just slightly bumped up. Better food. And so it was, but we had a blast. It was fun, and we got educated, and we had fun. We met new people. It was incredible. I got a chance to connect with some colleagues in the presbytery that had not had a chance to do that. It was exhausting, but it was a blast. And during the long break on Saturday afternoon, we had a little break in the afternoon, I was just about to lie down for a quick cat nap, and who knocks on my door? Landon knocks on my door. And Landon, what was important about what we needed to do when you woke me up from, or you didn't wake me up because I literally didn't even fall asleep. What did we want to do?
We went on a hike up a mountain.
Yeah, we were going to go on a hike up the hill. All right. So I said, all right, let's go on a hike. Let's go do it. We're going to do this thing. We walk up to the hill, or to the place where the trail starts. And what did we see? What was the first thing we saw when we got up to the trail? What was going on?
People said it was too muddy and that they didn't make it to the top.
Yeah. There was a big group that was like, oh boy, you can make it high up there, but you aren't going to make it all the way to the top. And what happened, Landon? Did we make it? We made it. Well, we were only two of us, but we decided we were going to go and do this thing. So we did. And we made it through the mud, and we as we were going, and by the way, you could hear the screams of these middle schooler and high schoolers. I mean, it seemed like for miles. But the further we got into the hike, Landon, could we hear the screams all the time? Eventually, they went away. Bliss. And I thought, here we are. We're doing this thing. And we made it through the mud. We made little stick bridges, right, Landon? And we made it to the top. It was phenomenal. And there's a big wooden cross. We saw this whole group of people from Worthington Presbyterian Church. We don't know how they made it up there. They did. And they were up there playing games. And Lane and I walked around and checked out. And it was a big clearing. It was right on top of the mountain. And as we were up there walking around, looking at that cross, I had this moment where I thought, well, I think I'm done camping now. I think this could be it. I think I'm ready to go down this mountain, and I think I'm ready to get right into the van and head on home. No more bad food. No more middle schoolers screaming and making bad choices, just constantly making bad choices. Why are you doing this? Why? What did you think for 1 second? No, they didn't. And Landon, did we stay on top of the mountain the whole rest of the time? No, we didn't. We didn't, did we? we had to come down the mountain. We had to come back down the mountain. And as we got closer, I heard the screams. I could smell dinner cooking. And I was down on that dread meter again. I didn't think about, I was thinking, no more bad food, no more energizers, no more keynote speakers. But we did it. We went back to all of it. And back, Landon, we went back because we had a purpose there, didn't we, buddy? We had a purpose. We were there to help form Christian disciples. To be there to help these kids, myself, understand a little better about what it means to follow Christ. I get it. Real life is really exhausting. It is. But you need to resist the urge to escape. Your life is full of opportunities to engage and to distract. Choose to engage. Choose to love. Choose to be present and choose to serve. You're going to need breaks. You're going to need Sabbaths to recharge, to renew your calling. You're going to need naps. But occasionally you have to come off that mountain. You can't stay there. And there's no escaping God's command to serve and to love our neighbors. But we have to engage. A while back, I was thinking about this. So George H.W. Bush died, and they had the big funeral, right? Big. I mean, everybody was on all these news networks. And I watched, actually, I think I watched it later. And I watched it later on YouTube. One of the things that I thought was unbelievable was his son, George W. Bush, President George W. Bush, was sitting on the front row in the corner pew of the National Cathedral. The whole rest of his family was there as well. One of the things about George W. Bush that he did during the service that I thought was like the most amazing thing. This is a funeral for his father. It's really tough, really hard. And your tendency to escape would be very easy to do during a funeral like that, to not be present, to try to figure out how you're going to deal with these emotions. Here he is sitting and completely engaged with everything that is happening during the service. The performers, the leaders of the service, the sermon, all the people who are doing eulogies for his father. The rest of his family's looking at their bulletin, looking at hymnals, kind of like this. And here he is, completely engaged. And I thought, man, if I could have that kind of engagement more often in my life, where I am that present, where I am aware, where I'm not trying hard to distract myself with my phone or whatever's in front of me so I don't have to pay attention to what's going on right here in front of my face. That is your call. Come down off the mountain and choose to engage in the valley. Choose to be engaged. Choose to serve. Choose to love. That is your calling this day. Be recharged here, but go out and serve. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.